as teenagers for the glory of God. And you youngins, listen, I know we ain't got many here in our church, but listen to you, preacher, keep using it for the glory of God. And you don't want God taking your talents from you, and so use them to the honor and the glory of God. Let's go to the book of Philippians tonight. Man, it's been one of them days I have just wrestled with what to preach this evening. I've had several thoughts on my heart and mind, and the Lord this afternoon directed my attention here, wrote some thoughts down, and really thought I was going to preach something else. I wanted to preach over there out of Psalm 119, where David was speaking about how much he loved the Word of God and how that he esteemed the Word of God to be right in all things. And then he made this statement, "Therefore I hate every false way." And I wanted to preach on that. Really thought that was the way we was going to go this evening. You hear a lot about love. You hear a lot about you got to love each other. And the Bible's filled with stuff about our love as Christians and how that's to be reflected toward God and toward the Bible and toward one another. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." But the same Bible that commands us to love also commands us to hate. And that's something that's not being declared. I imagine we'll preach that sometime soon. But this evening, as we've just kind of been getting started here, feel like the Lord's led us Philippians chapter 3. And I know these are familiar verses. If you will stand with me, I'll begin reading in verse number 13. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 13. Are you glad you're saved tonight? All right, let's begin reading verse 13. The Apostle Paul writing says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I like verse 21. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's pray together. And I wish you'd pray the Lord to use me tonight to speak the word of God to you and be a help to you this evening. Father, we come to you this evening thankful to be in the house of God. Thankful, Lord, that you've let us be here this midweek service. Father, Lord, we've come in, Lord, now this evening to hear from heaven. And Lord, we'll be praying here in a little bit. And Lord, we're thankful for that good privilege. But Lord, now the next few minutes, Lord, we need your touch. And we need your help, Lord, to be upon us. And God, I pray every word that we'd say would be said in the will of God. I pray tonight that you'd put power and unction and boldness and courage and discernment, Lord, upon us tonight that is necessary to preach the word of God. Lord, I'm well acquainted in myself. I'm weak, and in myself I'm frail. And Lord, in myself I can do nothing, much less preach the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray for your help tonight, and God, would you strengthen us and touch us, Lord, this evening. Make us a blessing. And God, I pray when we leave this place, may we be able to say that we've been stirred and challenged, Lord, to live for you and Lord, to finish strong, Lord, even in these last days. Lord, we love you now. Help us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. In the setting, the context in this chapter, I want to preach primarily from verses 14 down through verse 17 is where we'll take our main thoughts. But when you begin to study the book of Philippians in the context of it, We understand Paul, he's writing to a group of believers that he dearly loves in the Lord. He had been dear to his heart, and he had been dear to them and them to him. And he's writing to them to encourage them in the things of God. He begins in chapter 1. We understand this and know as we get our feet on the ground tonight. And he writes to them, and he begins to let them know of some things that he's gone through and how that he loves them, and he's praying for them. And that even if he were to pass off this scene, they would remain faithful through every problem and every trial that they were in. And so forth it goes on, and we deal with the Christ-like life, being conformed unto the image of God in Christ in chapter number 2. When we come to chapter number 3, Paul said finally, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And so he's mindful that what they're going through, they'll lose their joy if they're not careful. And they'll look around on the circumstances that they're in and the problems that they face and the issues that are at hand. And they'll have a stealing away of their joy. And so he says, I want you to be mindful and stay in a state of joy and excitement and freshness and maintain a zeal in these things that you're going through. Notice with me in chapter number 3 and in verse number 4, verses 4 down through 6, Paul begins to speak about the life that he used to live. And one of the things that I found interesting that Paul made mention of is in verse number 6, where he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And so Paul, accounting his former life, is a very religious man. And he's reminding you and I that when he was lost, he was very ambitious and very zealous in the life that he lived as a sinner man. His life was not lived in the mundane. It was not lived with no purpose. It was not lived without dreams and desires. But he said there was a zeal that burned in him as a lost man to live the life that he lived. And can I say tonight, every lost man has a zeal about the way that they live their life. They have ambitions, they have dreams. There's a drive about them that motivates them in the way that they live their life. And a lot of folks this evening, you'd have to agree, are living lives, my friend, they are ambitious. I am living for the devil. Everything they do for the devil, my friend, they do it to the best of their ability. If they're going to go out and get drunk tonight, they're going to do it with all their might. If they're going to go to the dance hall and get on the dance floor, my friend, they're going to boogie-woogie with all their might. Amen. They're going to do it with much zeal and much ambition. And Paul said it was no different for him than it is for the drunk or the dance hall party crowd and the drunkard and the dope crowd and on we could go. Paul said, before I got saved, there was a zeal about the way that I lived my life. Notice what he said. Evidently something happened because he said in verse 7, and one things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, there was a death that took place one day in Paul's life where he lost his zeal for living the life he had as a lost man, and he began to take on a brand new life. Of course, we know according to the book of Acts and the testimony Paul gave over and over of his salvation, that day that his life changed was the day that he met the Lord, or rather that the Lord met him, and how that God touched him and changed his life. Notice with me what Paul said. We can go down through these verses tonight, but I'm interested in one phrase tonight to take for a thought. Paul is now a saved man, and he just said there's a zeal, there was an ambition, there was a drive about the way that I lived my life before I got saved. And he said, but now all that is dead, and there's been something else raised up in me. And notice notice what he said in verse 14, verse end of verse number 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark or the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I think Paul is saying? He's saying, I think what he's saying is, and there's now a new zeal that's been raised in my life. I now have new ambitions. There is a drive on the inside of me. A life I used to live for the devil was filled with zeal. The life that I now live for the Lord is filled up with a zeal and a drive and dreams and a goal. And I'm driving that I may reach that goal. You see, as late as a Christian was one of constantly being driven to that ultimate goal of being conformed to the image of Christ. And after all, that's what the Christian life is all about. My friend, it's not about, amen, how fast you and I can live. It's not about, my friend, gain. And it's not about this evening popularity and fame and pleasure tonight. It's about being conformed to the very image of Christ. And Paul is saying that every day. I think he's saying every day of my life. I get up and I'm driven. There's still a drive. There's still an excitement. There's still a zeal. There's still an ambition. Are you listening? Hey man, I'm trying to thunder something, drive something home right here. He's saying there's still a drive on the inside, but it's a different drive than what I have. It's sad tonight that folk claim to be saved. They had more of a drive living from the devil when there's lost than they have a drive living from the Lord now that they're saved. And can I say that the Christian life is not a boring life? It's not a mundane life. It ought not to be. Can I get a witness, Seth? My friend, it's not a chore or a bore, Seth. My friend, it's not some letdown, Seth. Paul says, I'm still excited about living life, and I'm even more excited that I'm driven. Hey, man, I've got a new drive in life now that I'm saved and born again. Hey, man, shame on us tonight. Hey, man, it's amazing for folks get saved. My friend, they stay out all night long partying for the devil death and doing only God and the devil knows what death. A living life with a zeal and a dread to get in as much sin and as much trouble death. My friend, and as much wickedness as they can. And then, my friend, they get saved. And then, my friend, they begin to live their life after a while. Like, my friend, they've lost their best friend death. And man, like their mother-in-law showed up one day and said she's never moving out death. And my friend, they live life as a Christian with absolutely no drag. And I tell you tonight, if you're saved, you ought to be driven. And I'm not preaching the Rick Warren mentality of the purpose-driven life tonight. But I do want to say this evening, that there ought to be a purpose to be driven in life if you and I are saved. And so Paul said, and now that I'm saved, I don't have the zeal that I used to have as a lost man. Being saved, I'm still driven. I'm still excited. I'm still pressing. I'm still reaching for the goal with which I was saved. Amen. How's your drive tonight? Can I ask you that? Amen. How's your Christian drive in life? And can I make this statement tonight and drive this home? And if you're going to be much of a Christian in these last days, you're going to have some drive in you. Amen. Those who are undriven, those who have lost their zeal, those that do not understand the purpose from which we've been saved and lose the ambition of being what God has saved us to be, my friend, are not going to make it. How is it that we're seeing folk walk away? How is it we're seeing folk leave church? How is it that after years of being saved, we see folk falling to sin? I'm going to tell you what, and it'll be true of your life and mine if it's us tomorrow. Amen. It always begins by losing the drive that, my friend, the live the Christian life. Amen. There's still something on the inside of me. I ain't perfect, and I'm not certainly not sinless tonight. There's still something on the inside that, after being saved for 18 years, that's as excited, if not more tonight, about living for Him. Amen. Than I was the day I got saved. Amen. But listen, you're looking at one Christian who's got no sad reports to give. Amen. No bad grades. Amen. On God's report card from me tonight. Amen. He has far exceeded everything I thought He'd be. Everything I hoped He'd be. Everything I've needed Him to be. Amen. And I'm telling you that the drive is still on the inside after 18 years. Why is it that folk, amen, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years being saved, my friend began to lay down? And it's because they lose their drive. That zeal begins to fade. All of a sudden, my friend, there's all sorts of things that, my friend, have crept into their lives and into their hearts and into their thoughts. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying that it's important to maintain, amen, that spiritual drive if you're going to be what God saved you to be. Amen. 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 People go from just getting saved, man, they can't get enough. Preacher preaches an hour, they want two. The choir sings four songs, they want seven. Amen. Are y'all listening? You remember how it was when you got saved. Amen. I mean, you couldn't get enough of it. I've heard Brother Tim testify on a couple different occasions that when he got saved, he just wanted to be in church. Amen. It didn't matter if it was Calvary or the Pentecostals or, amen, what it was. He didn't know no difference. Amen. What was that? That was that drive that was birthed the day that he got born again. Amen. To drive him toward, amen, the things of God and anything that looked like the things of God. Amen. There was a drive there. But if you're not careful, after a while, amen, the choir sing two songs and you'll be ready. My friend, for them to be done. Preach 25 minutes, and you'll be ready for them to be done. You'll begin to lay down your standards. You'll begin, my friend, to quit praying. You'll begin to slip in your church attendance. You'll begin to involve yourself in things of the former life. Why is it that we do that, we lose our drive? Are you with me now? Amen. Used to be when you first got saved, man, Sunday morning you was up getting ready. Amen. You didn't come dragging in. You know what? There's something on the inside. You still had a drive to get down the house of God. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, you're back. You know what? There's something on the inside that drove you to the things of God. Amen. Wednesday night rolled around. You didn't come in dragging your tracks out. Amen. Tripping over your bottom lip. Amen. You walked in and you was excited and ready, man, just ready for God to speak, ready to worship. Amen. Ready to pray. Why? Because there was a drive on the inside. How's your drive tonight? Yeah, man, don't tell me now. How's your drive tonight? Drive is something that can be lost. Yeah, man, there's something in your car called a drive train. Yeah, man, if your drive train goes out, hey, man, you lose a gear, man, you ain't going to make it far down the road. Amen. And if it does run, you'll be a slipping here and a slipping there. Amen. A kicking here and there. Amen. You know what that is? You're losing your drive power. Amen. God, when He saved you, put something on the inside. Amen. A spiritual drive train that, amen, moves you, gears on the inside. Amen. That lets you run for God and be what God saved you to be. Amen. How's your drive tonight? You ain't lost your drive, have you? Let me say this tonight. I give you my thought here in just a minute. I'm still in introduction. When I give you my thought, I'll be almost done. Hang with me. Amen. Notice with me that Paul said he's been saved several years now, and he's been through some things. Evidently, there's been even points as he's writing the church at Philippi. He said, man, I don't know if I'm going to die, if I'm going to live, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord, but to remain here, it's needful for you to depart is far better. And so evidently, he's been through enough and severe things that Paul's had times he's just about checked out of this world. And yet he's still writing to them, and he said, I'm still pressing. I'm still driving through all that I've been through. Amen. Paul didn't get bitter, and Paul didn't get angry, and Paul didn't get the poochy lip disease. And Paul, my friend, learned what it was. Amen. To maintain your drive. Amen. If drive is something that can be lost, notice with me that Paul kept his drive by number one, not allowing problems to discourage him. Now, I don't mean that Paul never got discouraged, but I mean in the discouragement that he faced, he did not, my friend, lose his drive to be what God wanted him to be. Amen. Brother Rackley come through here last month and talked about Paul didn't get discouraged. I disagree with him on that. I think Paul knew what it was, Seth. Amen. To wonder whether or not, amen, he was going to make it or not. And amen, looking around discouraged. There was times, Seth, and he got discouraged with problems in his life. Amen. And there's times you're going to get discouraged, Seth. You can't keep problems from coming, Seth. You can't keep problems, my friend, Seth, from being a soul. Some discouragement, and I tell you what we can do, and we better do it. We better learn that, my friend, to keep our drive set, our drive going, our drive maintained, even though problems discourage us. Paul's been through enough to know that, my friend, there's going to be bad days. There's going to be days you don't know how to make it. Paul's saying that I'm still pressing. I'm still driving. I'm still reaching. I'm still excited no matter the problems that have discouraged me. You say, number two, Paul learned how to keep his drive in spite not only the problems that discouraged him, but my friend Paul kept his drive by not allowing pride to defile him. Paul's been saved a while. Paul hasn't been taught necessarily by men. Paul went and spent, 3.5 years out in the Arabian desert and was taught by Jesus Christ himself. When Paul came out of that wilderness and come back, that friend, the hand of God fell on Paul and the Spirit of God, my friend, called him out. And now Paul has not only been taught by the Lord and knows the Bible and has excelled in the things of God and has been used as a soul winner, an evangelist, and a missionary, and a church planter. Amen. And yet Paul, what does he say? In verse 13, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Amen. Can I tell you this tonight? Paul never got too big for his britches. I tell you why some folk lose their drive. Amen. They think, well, I've been saved so long. I've got this nailed down and that nailed down. And I can just set it on cruise control. Hey, my friend, when you get to the place, and you think you've arrived, you will lose your drive. Yeah, man, I'm telling you tonight, amen, pride, he wouldn't allow pride to defile him. It didn't matter how many sermons he preached. It didn't matter to Paul how many prayers had been answered. He could still with humility say, amen, I have not attained. He didn't have a mentality of, you better listen to me, I know something. Paul said, I'm telling you, I still, after all, by the grace of God, I've been able to do, I can still say, and I've not yet attained. And by the way, you haven't either. Amen. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, our Baptist churches are filled with folk. And Brother Gerald, God forbid it should be us. They're filled with people who think that they have arrived. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, I don't care how many standards you and I have, and we ought to have them. You can have all the standards in the world, but if you lose your drive, amen, you're not living a successful Christian life. Yeah, man, I know folk, they got standards, but they got no drive. They wouldn't miss church, but they ain't got no drive. Yeah, man, are you in the building? And hey, prayed. He said, I'm not going to let pride defile me. And my friend is able to keep his tread. Let me say this. He didn't allow, amen, kept his drive, but not allowing the past to defeat it. Oh, this is what he said again in verse 13. It's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen, what is he saying? He's saying, man, there's some things back there that I'm not proud of. There's some things I've done. There's some things I've said. There's some places I've been. There's some things I knew better than to do that I done. I just said, I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep driving in spite of my failures and in spite of how I've let God down and in spite of the sin of the past, in spite of the failures of the past, I'm still going to keep my drive. Can I say it ain't right that we fail and it ain't right that we fall? But my friend, listen, if you fall and you fail, amen, don't let the devil make a seat on your shoulder and convince you that it's done and you might as well sit down on the sideline and give up. My friend, don't allow, amen, the past to defeat you. Keep your drive. He kept his drive. Notice, I think we could say something this evening in this passage that Paul kept his drive by not allowing people in his life, amen, people to discourage him. Amen. Notice what the Bible said in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of that, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And notice what he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What is Paul saying? Paul said, when I was with you, I told you there's enemies out there, and they're going to do everything they can, minding earthly things, tear down God's things and spiritual things. But Paul still was able to say, and in spite of all the people that came against it, Paul said, I'm still pressing that. I still got a drive that. You say, preacher, somebody's hurt me. Amen. Get in line, man. You're going to get hurt. Amen. Take a number and get in the back of the line. Amen. It's about 100 miles down the road. Amen. People will hurt you. Amen. Friend, you've got to learn, amen, not to let the hurts and discouragements that people bring cause you to lose your drive. Yeah, man. You say, well, this enemy and that enemy. Amen. We all got enemies. Yeah, man. These people tonight, amen, primarily in North Carolina, but all over, amen, all over the Southeast, that hate my guts. Amen. There's been nights I've lost sleep over it. Are you listening? But I still got a drive on the inside. Amen, Brother Dean, I don't want to lose my drive. Brother Mark, I don't want to lose my drive. Amen, people are people. Somebody said, amen, the ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for people. And I say that may be an accurate statement, but without people, there is no ministry. And when you're dealing with people, I think maybe it's Gerald and I was talking on Sunday. When you're dealing with people, man, people's crazier than anybody. They're nuts, man, they're crazy. Yeah, man, and I, the longer I'm in this thing, the more I'm aware, man, people in these last days, they're losing their minds. You'll invest in them and you pour your life in them. And Paul knew what that was, to preach to them and love them. Only, my friend, to be treated like a dog. But Paul said, writing to the Philippians, I'm still driving, I'm still pressing. I still have not allowed the people that have been set in my life and in my way to bring me discouragement. I still have a drive. Still have a drive. And can I say, we need to maintain that drive. Yeah, man, here's what I'm preaching on tonight. Now, I'm nearly done. We won't pray this evening, but I want to preach for, amen, the next hour or two on this, on don't lose your drive. Don't lose your drive. Drive is something God give you when He saved you, spiritual drive. dread in the things of God. Brother Larry and I was talking about it for service a while, for service when it come in. Friend, I just don't know about this crowd that says they're saved. They don't ever, from day one, ain't ever had any spiritual dread, no inclination of the things of God, no, drawing to the things of God, no zeal about the things of God. Listen, when God saved me, I believe I got saved the Bible way. I'm sure of it tonight. Amen. When he saved me, he put something on the inside. Amen. Can I put it this way? He put someone on the inside. Amen. That's been driving me. Amen. That's empowering my life. Amen. He gets bigger than me. Amen. He lives bigger than me. He leads better than me. Amen. The Holy Ghost on the inside is that spiritual dread. Some folk, the reason they ain't got no drive, they've never had one to begin with. You didn't lose it, you never had it. Yeah, man. She claimed to be saved, still living in the same old sin. That ain't the book. That ain't the book. If you live in sin and it not bother you and there not be something on the inside drive you back to God and the things of God, you have not been born again. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome. Amen. Got something on the inside when I got saved. Amen. And thank God he give it to me. Now I'm glad I can't lose my salvation. You'll never lose it. You ever get it, you've got it. Amen. And when you get it, it comes with the drive, and you can't lose your deliverance, but you can lose your drive. Amen. Paul said a press. Don't lose your drive. What was it that Paul says? And there's just three things, man. The Lord just kind of spoke to my heart. And it's simple, Brother Jack. It's real simple. But I hope it'll stir a heart tonight and be reminded. I'm thankful, man. I be a part of a church that's got a little drive to it. And we're excited about what God's doing. And Jerry testified to that. Amen. After a year being your pastor, we still got a drive. But listen. I want it when we hit bumps in the road that we still got a drive. I want it to be that Brother Mark, when problems come against us, bring us down, that we still maintain a drag. Amen. I don't want to lose my shout just because there's people trying to discourage what God's doing. Amen. I want it to be where, as God does even more and greater things for us, that we don't kick it in cruise control and say, well, there's no need to have a drive anymore about the thing. There's always a need to have a drive. Amen. Amen. Everybody with me. Don't lose your drive. How you going to keep from losing your drive? Number one, here's how I worded it. Be fervent. Be fervent. You say, what's that mean? That means just get excited about the things of God. Well, I'm excited. I tell you right now, I'm excited. What the God you tell your face? Woo! Paul said, what did he say? He said, I press. You know what? That involves exertion of energy. That involves, here's what it means. It means to follow hard after. It ain't just lollygagging around. It ain't just, I got to live for Jesus today. Oh, no, it is a determination. It is, a following hard after. It deals with that fervency, a zeal. It means to pursue with earnestness and diligence in order to obtain. Amen. You know, a runner in a race, a man training to run a race, he's got to have drive on the inside. What's he do? How does he develop that drive? That drive's going to keep him going when his body wants to quit. It's going to keep him going when his mind tells it and he's too wore out and he's too weary. But my friend, what's he do? He develops that drive in training. He pushes himself and presses himself. Amen. And when he thinks that he can't go anymore, amen, he presses a little bit more. What's he do? He's building up his fervency to run the race. He's pursuing and
end, a goal that's at the end, that and when he runs his race, amen, he wants to know that when he crosses the finish line, that he's done everything he can in his ability to run well. Fervency. How's your fervency tonight? Don't lose your drive. Be fervent. If you're not going to lose your drive, you got to be fervent. I mean, you got to maintain a zeal about the things of God. Amen. Somebody say something you don't like and you don't agree with, and it'll knock the drive out of you if you don't maintain fervency. Somebody won't shake your hand and you'll get your feelings hurt and you'll begin to lose your zeal about what God's doing. Amen. Well, I just don't think the preacher likes me. Grow up. I just don't know, you know, so and so, they said this. They said this, and it just hurt my feelings. You're going to have to be fervent, man. You got to have more about you. If you're going to keep your drive, you got to have more fervency about you than that. Woo, hallelujah. Be fervent. Amen. Be fervent. Not this sideline Christianity. Not this, amen, just lollygagging up and down. Amen. In the race I'm talking about. Amen. Get fervent about it. Be determined about it. Put your all into it. Amen. You maintain your drive by being fervent in the race. Paul said, I finished my race. Finish my course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Amen. How'd Paul get there? There was some fervency in his life somewhere. So I'm so hurt. I doubt you've been hurt like Paul was hurt. Paul said, I'm still driven. I'm still pressing. There's still a fervency about me to do the will of God. Amen. Everybody okay? Be fervent. Number two, be focused. I told you, simple and quick. Watch it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus what? Minded. What's he saying? He said, you got to keep your focus. Keep your focus. There's a goal at the end. The conformity of the very image of Christ. It's out there. Amen. It'll be fulfilled one day at the coming of the Lord. Or by way of the grave. Thank God these vile bodies are going to be changed. But my friend, until then, I'm to keep my eye on the goal. There is to be a perfecting work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And if that's going to be maintained and I'm going to keep my drive, I must be focused on what God saved me to be. That means I don't get my mind off on what somebody said about me. That means I don't get my ass off on how others are not living the Christian life. Amen. Now, I know folk, man, they could be 10 times the Christian they are if they quit worrying and being so focused on how everybody else ain't. You're welcome. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Putting their nose in everybody's business. You know what? They're focused on the wrong things. Amen. Whether or not you ever live for God does not determine my ability to live for God. If I am minded and I am focused and I have this mind about pressing and keeping my drive and staying focused on the goal, and every day I get up and I just focus on the goal. Amen. Every week I live my life, I stay focused on the goal. Guess what? I can maintain a drive and reach what God saved me to be. Be focused. Notice the word minded. Notice what it means. I'm trying to wind down. Watch this. It means to think, implying not only thought, but also the affections, the will, or moral consideration. It literally means to set the affections on. See, Mike, I remember Paul saying, set your affections on things where? Things above, not on things below. That includes, my friend, people and problems and situations and troubles and trials and hurts and pains. Staying upward focused, not earthly focused. Amen. Am I making sense now? Notice what he said. He said you need to be minded. And you laugh about this, but he said if in anything you be otherwise minded. Notice the word minded. God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, it is the work of the Spirit of God in your life to keep your eyes off this and that and to keep them on what God saved you to be. Lose your drive when you lose your focus. You lose your drive when you lose your fervency. Notice with me, number three, and I'm done. That is simple. Man, ain't this simple? Man, a monkey could understand this tonight. Be fervent. Be focused. Number three, just be faithful. You know when you lose your drive is just when you quit being faithful. You just start slipping just a little bit. You just let a little thing go here and a little thing go there and it don't look like a big deal. But all the while, before you know it, you wind up losing your drive. Notice it. Paul says here, listen, there are enemies that are against Christ. There are enemies that my friend, are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Is that what your King James Bible said? You know what Paul learned? It don't matter what anybody else does. I'm going to be faithful. Don't matter how they kick it, how they fight it, how they spit on it, how they try to set it on fire. He said, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm still pressing. Amen. And I know this evening, by the grace of God, it'll never happen, number one. And number two, I know it's easier to say now than it is to live if it ever were to happen. But if everybody in this building said, I ain't living for God no more. If Brother Jerry come to me by the weekend and say, I'm done, I'm turning my keys in, the checkbook's in, I ain't leading the choir no more, I ain't leading the singing anymore, I ain't showing up no more, I'm out of here, I'm done. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Lord, I'd grab his ankles and do all I could to keep him in. But if he made up his mind to walk out them doors, guess what? I'm still going to live for God. Yes, If Mark and Candy come and said, we're not playing the piano no more, not cleaning anymore, not teaching anymore, not singing anymore, I'd get on my knees and beg them to stay. But if they walked out them doors, I'm still going to live for God. Amen. Brother A.L. Hall's becoming one of my favorite people in all the world. Look up to him. If A.L. Hall come to me tonight and said, preacher, I'm not saying another prayer. I'm not coming to church. After all these years, I'd fall down and beg A.L. Hall, please don't leave, brother. If he walked out the door, guess what, Brother Mike? Brother A.L., I'm still going to live for God. Why? Because you just be faithful and you maintain your drive. Too many people let what others do affect how they live their life. Amen. You might as well say, even when family walks away and when family don't do right, you just stay faithful to what God said to do. I know people that have made decisions to get out of church because their family made a decision to get out of church and they lose their drive for the things of God. Might as well look on up in here. I'm a preacher now. I'm going to tell you, you got to learn to be faithful. It's all about Him. It's all about who He is. It's all about saying, God, I know You saved me and You changed my life. And I don't want to lose my drive that You gave me when I got saved. I want to finish my course right and with joy. I don't want to just finish right. I want to finish with joy. I know some, bless God, they're going to finish right. Yeah, they're going to finish right. They're going to finish right. But Paul said, finally, my brethren, and he said, you better have some rejoicing going on. Amen. Finish right, but finish with some joy. Finish right and finish rejoicing. Keep your drive. Has your drive tonight. Don't lose your drive. Say, preacher, I'm on fire right now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But don't lose your drive. Preacher, I'm so excited. I'm on a mountain. I just think I'll make it into heaven. Just hammer down, glory bound with the hammer down. Well, I hope you do. But every mountain on the other side, it goes into a valley. Don't lose your drive. But Scotty, don't lose your drive. You and Amy, man, you're growing. And I mean, just in a year, I've seen a lot happen in your family. Don't lose that drive. Don't lose that drive. It don't matter. It don't matter who walks away. Roger, you and Ruth just got saved, man. You have fired my soul up all over and again. I'll be up there singing. I see Ruth. She'll be trying to figure out some of them songs she don't know, and she'll hit a phrase. It just strikes her heart, and she'll go. Amen. Just gets a little bit of that window wiping action going on. I love it. I'll be up preaching in a big way, and old Roger will go. Don't lose your drive. Don't lose your drive, because I promise you, the longer you save, there'll be more things coming to your life just designed to cause you to lose your drive. Be fervent. Be focused. Be faithful. Can we give invitation tonight? Would you come on, Sister Candy? Don't lose your drive. You say, preacher, I'm running well. Well, you might ought to get on this altar and say, Lord, you got to help me. Because I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of things that people don't mean to do, situations that come up that, man, is just life, and the devil jump on your shoulder and he'll blow them up bigger than they are, trying to take your fervency and your focus and your faithfulness. Don't lose your drive. Father, we love you now. Help us. Lord, help our church to keep our drive. Help each family, each member of our church, Lord, to keep their drive in these last days. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight. There's some moving already. Come to pray. If the Lord spoke to your heart, would you mind the Lord this evening? I preach my heart to you. Don't lose your drive. Don't lose your drive. Please don't lose your drive, church. There's a work to be done in these days. Don't lose your drive. Mind the Lord now. Folk are praying.